Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring voice-activated Sync App Link. Now you can control select smartphone apps with your voice so you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Check it out in the 2012 Ford Fiesta and at Ford.com/technology. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, Android device, or TV instantly. All stream directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT.
Hey, welcome to All About Android, episode 32, recorded on Monday, October 31st, Halloween!
Woo! Yay.
This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Ghost-Faced.
Oh, I'm just Jason Howell. I'm me.
Man, I'm just Ron Richards, as usual. Sorry.
We're bummers.
Yeah.
Jeez, you guys.
Well, you know, you didn't bring us masks.
Happy Halloween.
I feel so alone.
Yeah, you look a little worried.
You going to wear that the whole show?
Maybe. Should I?
No.
All right.
If it was an Android costume, maybe. But
that would have been cool.
I didn't get one that in time. Cool. I know.
They should totally make like Android masks. Like, you know, like those. Remember the plastic masks?
I would have worn that.
Yeah.
Actually, this is not very comfortable, quite honestly.
Thank you.
It's not very comfortable because it doesn't mold to your face.
Yeah.
So it's like.
It's like having a plastic sheet.
Yeah, and it's like, my eyes are like this. It's kind of sad. But
did that
Scream?
Did that come from Scream, or did they use that and then got popular due to Scream?
I think there's a trivia question for you.
Chicken or
came
the egg.
From yeah. Scream. Chat room
probably knows.
Maybe they know.
Yeah.
Let us know in the middle of the show. Hey, this week we're going to be discussing tons of new hardware news. We've got the big F word fragmentation. Okay. We got a big Google TV update. And we've got a review of the HTC Rhyme and a grab bag of apps. Oh, we got a lot going on today. And we have a special guest, Michael Ludden, who is a big Android fan. You may have recognized him from Android Open a couple weeks ago. And we should disclose that he is a developer evangelist for HTC.
That's correct. And I'm excited to be here. This is the
You should be excited. You know, HTC had a ton of really great news. We should go ahead and disclose. You guys did your earnings report. It was huge. Big earnings today. Shipped 13.2 million handsets worldwide, up 93% from last year. And apparently, you guys are touting that you are the number one smartphone vendor in the U.S.
Pretty
beating
exciting.
Apple? That's kind of crazy.
That is crazy. I didn't expect that. That's awesome.
I was all good news. But, hey. Is that why you're here? Is that why they let you come
I'm like,
here?
Oh, thank they you.
They would have called you and said, you can't come on the show. Our earnings report, not so hot.
I mean, that's great. Great news. I don't know what else to say. It's great.
I'm glad that Michael's here when I can hear you.
Yes.
Android Open, it got very loud as soon as you sat down.
Oh
and it was, yeah, so this is a much more controlled environment.
Yes,
so,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Full of bricks, which I love. This is great. If anybody ever gets a chance to come here, definitely do. This is awesome.
So you have a surprise for Jason later. Is
yes,
that a tease?
I do. I do.
I cannot wait for
I like
do.
That it's a total surprise. We have no idea.
I
have a couple
I swear
of surprises.
We don't know.
Just two. Yeah.
Are you going to scatter them throughout the show?
I'm going to wait to reveal them until we get to the appropriate place in the show. I already have it picked out, but it's good.
Okay. I like the idea, like, God. We don't know when it's coming.
Yeah.
We're
going to
be in the middle of a review.
Scary, right? This is going to be ambushed by awesome. This is live.
Wow. All right.
It's all about.
That's right.
Take bets, guys, in the chat room. What do you think? What do you think is a surprise? Mm-hmm. And it's for Jason, mm-hmm. too. So, another hint.
Okay.
Let's get into our news.
Very exciting Android news for those, if you remember, was it last episode when I revealed that sometimes I like to hit the update button on my Google TV to see when the update's coming? Well, I got inundated with tweets and Google Plus posts and stuff like that over the weekend because some news around the new version of Google TV's interface running Honeycomb leaked out. Well, I don't know if it leaked out or was released.
It was just released. It wasn't a leak. It's official.
So the official Google TV update to Android 3.1, as we knew, it's going to add applications and the marketplace, as well as a sweet new interface, which after watching the video, I was too excited about.
My goodness.
And so what did I immediately do?
You hit update.
I hit update. It didn't.
Do you have a Logitech review or a Sony?
I have a Sony Blu-ray.
Okay.
That's what's supposed to get it first.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the TV's supposed to get it over the weekend, right? I don't know about the Blu-ray player.
Well, the Blu-ray player did not get it yet.
Yeah. Neither does a Logitech review. I bought a Logitech review this weekend, as a matter of fact, because I heard that and I'm like,
and it was
like
$99 and
it was $99. I had some Best Buy, you know, certificates. So I got it on the cheap, and it didn't get honeycomb yet. But I'm really liking it. It's pretty cool.
So, a Sony representative said that the update will roll out to all connected Sony Internet TV devices by early next week, but no indication as to folks like me with the Blu-ray player. But I'm crossing my fingers.
Early next week,
which is this
like
week.
Like today.
Yeah, so when I'm going to go home
and hit update.
So I figure if I just keep hitting it, it'll happen sooner or later, right?
When you hit it, you're basically voting. It's another vote that says, I really want it. Okay, fine.
But that said, I mean, I don't know if we want to show the video of it. I mean,
we've shot a little bit just action. Now. Let's see it again, Chad.
I mean, like, it looks like a mature product now, finally. I mean, I know we talked a lot about it, but it is total. Like, when Google TV first came out, it was very, I don't want to say beta because that's so Googly, but this is like, looks like a good product.
Yeah, this is something that you want. It's just, it's always better when they do UI updates. I mean, look at that. Now you're just kind of scrolling. It's not just, it doesn't look like just a computer page, you know?
What I think is interesting there is that it showed, you know, you want to watch something and it gives you the options as to where to watch it. Watch this on HBO Go. Watch it,
On Netflix. Cool.
Yeah, which is, you know, because there, see, the USA,
I
YouTube.
Like that.
You know, there's so many different ways to do it. I'm actually really excited, like, because I was, just this weekend, I was trying to figure out what to watch. I wanted to. A lot of movies are being released. Have you noticed there have been some movies that are being pre-released or co-released?
Like
Margin Call is available on iTunes for Apple TV users, and it's also in the theaters. Melancholia. That movie with Kiefer Sutherland, who I'm a huge fan of Kiefer, and I'm like, great, I want to see it. And I sat down, I'm like, how am I going to watch this? And I saw it was on iTunes. I could watch it on my Apple TV, which I still have hooked up for old time's sake. Mm-hmm. But then I looked, I saw it was on Amazon.
Yes.
And I'm a Prime member, and I was like, oh, bonus. And so now I can watch on my Google TV.
So
I like how they're collecting the various sources of where you can get the video and giving that as an option. Very Boxy-esque almost.
My favorite part of the new UI is how unobtrusive it is. Like, supposedly it's going to be down on the bottom of your screen. The thing I don't like is that when I'm watching cable TV and I hit the home button, it comes up over it, the entire screen, and you can't really see what's going on. Now if it's just like popping up below.
You see, I don't have cable, so I never use it in that experience. Yeah. I'm using all internet, like, you know, web-based kind of video or streaming from the media player. But I was just thinking over
the
week.
Cord.
Yeah, I've been a cord. Okay, I cut the cord. Right. Well, it must have been like 07,
it's been a while 08. For you,
I was an early cord cutter. Yeah. But I do have a HD antenna, and I was like, oh, I wonder if I can get the HD antenna input to go in here. I just didn't get off of the
couch. There it is. Yeah. If you're watching the video, you can see how everything is below. Yeah. All the apps and the time and everything that you would be selecting would be below instead of
it looks really
over
nice.
It. Yeah, I can't wait to get this myself. Google has been on a tear with updates. Just today, as we're recording this, Google Reader got an update. We'll talk about G Plus app being updated. Apparently, Google Music might be coming out sometime. I mean, these are all the rumors here, and this is all kind of like really, really good timing. Very excited to.
I'll let you know
see that.
If I try to plug in the HD antenna. Like I said, I had that idea. Yeah. I had that idea, but then I just kept on watching TV.
You'll be unlocking the coolest part of it because my favorite thing about Google TV is that I can search my DVR for stuff and instantly switch it. And I have controls via the Logitech Review app on Android that I don't actually have on my controller. Like the skip back and skip forward, that's on the app.
I've moved from using the remote to using the Zoom with the Google TV remote.
So nice.
Cool. Yeah, big buttons and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I mean, arguably you get the most out of Google TV if you do still have a cable or that type of subscription.
Only reason I have it is for sports. If not, I could cut the cord, right?
Right.
And get all my stuff.
I also, I'm a big fan of Boardwalk Empire. I've been enjoying that. So and I love HBO. Looking up people. Well, I don't have HBO.
Oh, that's right.
But I like looking up the historical people. Like on the most recent episode, like George Remus was on it and he was a historical figure. So I was on my tablet looking it up and I was like, oh, that's what made me think of it. I could, if I had this, I could just look it up on the TV while I'm watching it. But
Awesome.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to that. We'll be talking a little bit more about Google TV as we all get updates rolled out to our devices.
Very
excited. Okay, moving on to the big F word. And the F word for us here is fragmentation.
We're a family show.
Fragmentation. Oh, I can't even say that.
No. Well, I guess so. Yeah.
Okay, fragmentation. So over the weekend, I would say Thursday or Friday, there was a little graphic that hit the internet. And it
What kind of graphic?
By storm.
What kind of graphic?
A chart.
Or an infographic.
infographic.
There's a difference.
Chad, can we see the infographic in question that hits the Android?
When it's an infographic, it gives you information.
Yes. All right. So there's been a lot of opinions about this graphic. Some people say it's heavily weighted one
heavily
way
manicured.
Or another. Yes, heavily manicured. Yes. There's a lot of low-end phones on here that kind of depict. Basically, if you're not watching the video, the infographic kind of charts out which phones got the updates and which updates and when based on their release. So green here, and at the very top of the list, we have all the iPhones and when they were upgraded, year after release, second year or third year, and all of those phones, most of those phones got upgraded. And then we've got HTC, the G1. Yeah. And when did it stop getting upgraded? Around the second year, looks like, and definitely the third year. And then we've got tons of various phones here. And a lot of them are very low-end phones, like the Motorola Click, the OG Droid, the Aris.
Comparing the Aris to
it's not fair, right?
All right, thank you.
And then we've got some of the other phones, the Nexus One. These are now we're getting the Motorola Devour. I'm skipping around here. The Click.
There's just so much
XT.
Information.
There's
in
so much information. Yes, the Droid, incredible. There was a lot of back and forth over the weekend as to the validity of this infographic and. What you get into if you buy an Android device versus an Apple device. And I thought it would be interesting for us to have a discussion. I've read lots of posts and blog posts. I have to say one of my favorites was from Phil Nickenson from Android Central, who broke it down in a very more calm... Did you say sober?
Sobering.
I remember you were the first one, I think, Jason, who I found the infographic from because you posted it on G+.
Because I had really mixed feelings about it at first. Like I read it, and at first my initial kind of reaction was kind of upset that these older phones didn't have as good of a update cycle as like the iPhone did. Yeah. And I did post it on Google+, and it's probably one of the most commented posts that I've had on Google+ to date. I mean, there were just tons of people getting in on the discussion around it. So it ended up being really kind of a good learning lesson for me.
That's great.
Because like I said, I did have mixed feelings about it. But in the end, I mean, yes, it's like we said, it's a manicured list. It makes some valid points. I do think that it brings up some valid points, which is that, manufacturers, hardware makers are releasing so many phones these days that how do we as consumers expect them to keep every single phone that they release as up to date as, as the current version of Android? So, on one side, I understand, there's so many phones, but on the other side, I guess the question can be raised, do they have the responsibility to do that?
I see an awful lot of HTC on that chart.
Look at this guy. Let me make a comment about this chart. Where's the yellow for the iPhone stuff? I see only green, but I don't see the original iPhone getting anything like iOS 5 or something. Where's the yellow in that list? It's like
that's true. That's true.
And then they're lumping
the current major version. Yeah.
You notice that Apple gets its own section, but they're lumping every other manufacturer together as if everybody's just the same thing, and there's no difference between anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm with you guys. I find it completely manicured and made to look a certain way. And I think there are also valid points with it. But this particular list, I would love to see a much more evenly compared list, personally.
And more devices.
More devices, newer devices, sure.
Well, but how much of is that often come up at HTC?
Is a word that's brought up often with Android, right? I mean, you hear it all the time. People are worried about it. Generally, when they're worried about it, they're worried about if I switch from this manufacturer to another manufacturer, am I going to get the same experience? And nobody can promise that, right? Because it's a completely different manufacturer. That's like saying, if I switch from an iPhone to a BlackBerry, am I going to get the exact same experience? Am I always going to get the latest version of, whatever OS is on there? So I think I always like to flip around without devaluing the idea that fragmentation is not a good thing and say that it's really fascinating how a couple of different OSs, Android and Windows Phone, have really unified a bunch of different manufacturers together so that you can write one app and it will run on a Samsung, on an HTC, on a Motorola, on a bunch of different, on an LG, right? Whereas you have iPhone playing in its own space, that's fragmentation. When you have to rewrite your app, imagine if everybody had their own OS, right, from scratch, and they don't play nice with each other. So every time you want to release it on a Samsung, you got to go with the Samsung OS, then the iOS, then the... So what Android does to me, and I know this is a complete reversal of what everybody's saying, is unify, not fragment. And yes, there are issues that happen there because they're different manufacturers, they're different platforms. Sometimes things don't get updated on certain manufacturers, platforms, and stuff like that. But the apps can work across platform, and I think that's a really good thing for the space.
Right. Yeah. This whole thing kind of reminds me of personal computing in the late 90s.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, because it was very much because not only did you have, you know, Mac and their operating system doing what they were doing pre OS X and all that stuff, but you had not only did you have Windows, but you had various flavors of Windows out there, whether it was 98 or 2000 or ME and all that. Like these are the dark days, you know, of interoperability. Like
interoperability. That's what it is. Yeah.
Exactly. And even though I can't say the word interoperability, I still can't say it. And not only just with applications, but also with data types. With how many times do you remember back? I remember back in college. It's like, oh, I wrote this paper on my computer, but I don't have the same kind of word processor that you have, and stuff didn't work. And now, I mean, we kind of realize that things just magically work because we've learned those things. And I think you make a great point, though, about
I will say one other thing, just in defense of HTC, and I don't have the exact thing. I read something recently. Maybe you guys can help me out. I'm sure the chat room can, or correct me if I'm wrong. But there was a stat that came out that HTC devices running Android are more often updated to the latest version of Android than a lot of other manufacturers. So we're number one in that area. I remember reading something to that effect where it's like 50% of devices currently on the market being sold are on the latest version of Android versus something like 30 or something like that.
Yeah, I remember seeing that as well.
So it's an important thing to us. I think I was asked about this actually at Android Open, as a matter of fact.
Well, it seems like if you just take a look at this chart, your claims are kind of validated if you compare it to Motorola, no way. But if you take a look at HTC, there's more green around meaning updated around HTC phones. Now, there's a couple of the Aria, but do all phones really need to be updated? That's a question that I have because that's a point that Phil makes in his. In his argument here, he says that we've said it before and we'll say it again, not every Android phone deserves updates to the latest major Android version. And I could see that, especially if the phone can't handle the new software.
Right.
And the processor can't drive it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the points that I brought up in my Google Plus post was does the general consumer care?
Right.
When I think about my wife, right, she has the Thunderbolt, and thank you very much. Thunderbolt finally got its gingerbread update.
Yes, it did. Yes.
So it got the gingerbread update, but I swear, I made the update. She would not have realized that the update was there to be had. Eventually it appears on the screen automatically, but I did it manually. Okay. And I don't know if she really notices on a daily basis what the change was or really even cares from her perspective that she just went from Froyo to gingerbread. She just knows that I went on her phone and did something and our phone's up to date for some magical reason. Does the general population, the general consumer, and not us, the really geeky technical techies, really care about it being so up to date? All they want is a phone that works. However, on the other side, it is kind of in the manufacturer's hands to if you're buying a premium phone, you expect that you expect that there's a certain life cycle to that.
So three things. I think you're right. I think the general user, they care about having the latest version only insofar as their friends are like, oh, are you on the latest version?
Right.
That's one thing. Also, if it doesn't work right and it needs an update, then yes, they want the latest version because they think it will fix their problem, and hopefully it will, right?
Yeah.
And then the third thing is... I just lost my third thing.
Well, I'll add a third thing is what you often get is applications that only run on a version level or higher.
Right.
And That's true. Happened a lot over the past year where people had phones that were running Android 2.2 or 2.1 and apps are coming out for 2.3 and higher, and I don't see that happen though because the marketplace is only showing you apps that work with your devices.
I can tell you this was the third thing. I can give you an anecdotal example of somebody who ran into me with their MyTouch, right? I think it was the second Android phone ever, right? After the Dream, the G1, right? Yeah. And it got updated to Gingerbread. And so they came up to me and they're like, this phone, I can't put more than two widgets on it because it slows down. Mm-hmm. And so that amounted for them to a bad user experience. Yep. It probably would have been better to stay on Froyo. Yeah.
Now, there was a lot of people over the weekend, or last week too, that got upset. And I just want to make a note that the Nexus One is not going to get... ice cream sandwich, and that is official. And there was a lot of uproar about that. I know that some people wanted us to talk about it here on this show. And I mean, my guess is that A, you could root and ROM it. B, will it be able to handle ice cream sandwich? maybe not, right?
Well, I think that there's a responsibility on the manufacturer side to say, yes, this is a good upgrade for the device.
Right.
And, you know, because like you said, that experience we're running, you know, it's like, again, go back to the desktop PC stuff. I remember, you know, having a desktop that was 2 or 3 years old, trying to install the latest game. Like, remember Crysis came out?
Yeah.
Remember,
yeah.
And everyone had to upgrade their video card and stuff like that.
Essentially a glorified benchmark.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, and the thing is that really does, you know, is it the best experience to put a operating system and or software that really shouldn't be running that's outpacing your technology, your hardware technology?
I can speak personally about just the Motorola Droid, which I think it's kind of
yeah,
an analog
to
this,
yeah.
Right? Motorola Droid was never upgraded to Froyo officially, but there were plenty of devs out there. Peter Alfonso does the Bugless Beast ROMs, and he ported over a version of Gingerbread to it. Yeah, it worked, and it was great to have Gingerbread on it, but I can't say that it was the fastest running phone in the world.
Right.
And so I understand why Motorola would say, no, we're absolutely not. Like, yes, it works, but the experience would be slow enough that you'd think that we did something wrong.
Right. Random question. Don't. Would if you have an original iPhone, would you actually want to have iOS 5 on there?
No.
It would run
horribly.
Right?
Yeah, it would run horribly.
Who still has an original iPhone? That's a good question, too. I haven't seen one of those in the wild in ages.
That's the unfair part of those lists, I feel like. Right?
Yeah.
There would be
exactly.
a big yellow thing there, and it's like, oh, they're not doing their job, but...
Right.
Well, one more point to fragmentation I wanted to bring up is that there are, in our world, there are some heavy tech users that because of fragmentation or because of things like this, they've either decided maybe they're not going to continue with Android and they're going to get an iPhone. Mm. One highlighted, Molly Wood moved to an iPhone.
I just saw that.
Leo's using his iPhone more. Gina Trapani has mentioned twice on Twitch she's very tempted to get the iPhone 4S and not get the Galaxy Nexus. So I'm just saying there are problems out there that these power users are saying, well, forget it.
Molly Wood got the iPhone 4, not the
4S. That's true, the 4.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. The iPhone 4, I thought that was interesting.
Molly's a power user?
she's been using an Android for
Gina's the only one that worries me out of that list. If Gina jumps ship,
Leo
then
goes
I'm
back.
Like...
Leo, yeah.
Because
Leo,
it's whatever the wind blows.
Exactly. He's going to try
it.
He's going to get a Galaxy Nexus. Seriously, no, we all know that. He tries everything. So it's kind of unfair to say that. But he is admittedly loving his iPhone more than he has in the past. So it's like, are these people jumping ship or what?
I had a funny experience this weekend with somebody was playing with some, not a power user on an iPhone, was playing with their iOS 5 and they're showing somebody like, look, I can swipe down, I get these notifications. Like, oh yeah, I had that. And they're like, oh, and the Siri, I'm like, yeah, we had that. And like, I was going through all the things and I was like, yeah, we had that.
I can't tell you how many times I have those conversations and people just say like, well, why didn't I know about this? That's a good question.
That's a great question. Yeah.
I think the best part about Apple is the advertising.
Yeah.
They're amazing at advertising.
And I'll give them credit that as of right now, pre ice cream sandwich, the notification pane on Android compared to the notification pane on iOS 5 looks clunky and developer-y and a joke. Mm-hmm. You know, because all it is just a little line of text and all that sort of stuff. Now, hopefully Ice Cream Sandwich will improve that and we'll get
change,
a little more graphical.
Yeah.
But I will give Apple credit that they took the concepts and then added the Apple sexiness to it. And,
yeah,
you know, but
they did.
But we always end up on talking about Apple.
Yeah, hey, at least we're not talking about the bio. This is the one show we're not going to bring up the bio.
All right.
Anyways.
Moving on.
Didn't you just did?
We didn't talk and I didn't even say the name. Okay, go ahead.
All right, real quick. HTC, as you know, has released the first wave of the OTA system updates to Sprint phones, I believe, is first. Basically, this is an attempt to patch up the HTC Logger vulnerability we discussed a few episodes back. And like we had just talked about, the Thunderbolt received an upgrade to Gingerbread. Did the Thunderbolt get that fix rolled into the Gingerbread update?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if it did. I didn't see it out there.
Question.
I assumed at first, and then I was like, well, maybe it didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe it didn't get rolled in. Do you have any sort of insight on other
carriers? I'm on the developer side. I'm talking to app makers. I'm like, hey, build us some great apps. You guys are awesome. I'm not as close to that as I would like to be. I'd like to know because people ask me about that sometimes. So I will try to get an answer for that question.
All right. Well, cool. Well, it's good to note that
it's about as good as I can
the
do
Sprint
right.
updates are kind of happening as well. So, all right, cool. Well, let's just jump real quick into, if I can get my laptop to do what I want it to
your
do.
Your Chromebook?
Hypothetically.
Real quick here, this episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring the voice-activated Sync App Link, which actually allows you to do some pretty cool things with your phones. It enables you to control select apps from your smartphone with simple voice commands. while you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. With Sync App Link, you can do things like voice control Pandora. So if you've got a Pandora station and you don't want to have to, you know, pick up your phone to try and select it, you can just have it do it automatically with your voice. Listen to your tweets with OpenBeak just by asking a simple voice command. Once your smartphone is linked to Pandora, you can use the voice commands to do things like find your favorite station, bookmark a song to purchase, give songs thumbs up, thumbs down, all that kind of stuff. PlayStation Classic Rock, and it would do its thing.
Nice.
So, pretty sweet stuff. And let's see here.
This, I want to try that.
It's smaller than I'm used to. Okay, there we go. It's built on an API platform that allows Ford to continue to work with developers in the app community to bring apps to life with voice in their vehicles. That's voice-activated Sync App Link. It's available on the 2012 Ford Fiesta. You can learn more about this and other technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology. Check it out.
Please.
Do it.
Do it now.
Yes. All right. Let's move into hardware. Oh, I broke it.
It's terrible. I have a new song in my head as I introduce the Samsung Galaxy S2 Sky Rocket. In flight.
Uh-huh. That's an afternoon delight.
Oh, thank you for finishing my sentence,
course,
Ron.
Hey, I always get to that.
Okay, AT&T just introduced LTE phones and the new LTE network for AT&T and the Samsung Galaxy S2 Skyrocket 4.5-inch, 1.5 gigahertz dual processor, 8-megapixel rear shooter, which kind of like mine, just a little bit bigger, 16 gig built-in on storage, micro SD card slot, and running 2.3.5. What do you think about this?
Now, if you're going to name a phone, Skyrocket. That's a good name. That's a powerful,
it's powerful to
name.
Go with LTE.
It's like I got a rocket in my pocket. It's going to make my calls.
I got
everything I need. I get to, you know, like that's a good name. That's a good name. Phone looks pretty cool too.
I mean, it's basically my phone with LTE and slightly bigger.
Yeah,
which is fine.
Right.
So a Super AMOLED display and all of that. So very exciting. Along the same lines, HTC Vivid was announced as well for AT&T, 4.5-inch QHD display, 1.2 gigahertz, 8-megapixel camera as well. It's kind of basically the same. It's HTC. It just has Sense on it, you know.
That f2.2 aperture lens is nothing to sniff at.
Okay. Same. Okay. Same. All right.
Would you describe it as being vivid?
I would.
Yeah,
I would,
there you
actually.
Go. You see that?
It's weird how
you see
that works,
that's
right?
A good. You see, that's again. You see, I'm kind of into the product marketing side of things.
Me
and
too.
I like that. You see, you know, with a great camera, with a great lens on there, and it's vivid. That brings, you know. So
okay.
Then that QHD display, I like. I was using that for a little while, and I almost brought it up here. I could have busted it out now that it's announced. But it's a pretty cool phone. I'm just saying. Don't sleep on that one.
All right. Well, the Skyrocket is $249, and the Vivid will be $199 with a 2-year agreement on AT&T.
Cool. So some news about the LG Double Play that was announced a couple weeks ago. We got a launch date finally. It's November 2nd on T-Mobile. And I got to admit, if you hadn't seen this phone yet, you want to take a look at the pictures because it's wacky.
It's, what's going on here?
Well, it's a slider, so it's very Sidekick, you know, kind of esque. And it has a keyboard that's almost like thumb keyboard, like that's that's separated
split
apart, and there's a small display in between the keyboard that allows you for fast like app switching or fast, you know, app loading, that sort of thing. So it's got I don't know. It's weird.
It's one of those things that you probably have to pick up and use a little bit to really understand why you would need apps.
But a lot
down
of people love your
present
thumb keyboard apps.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who went crazy over that. So
yeah.
I think those people might. And then if you want a QWERTY keyboard.
What's also interesting is it reminds me, and I'm not a gamer, so I can't. But like, aren't there like Nintendo things where they've got two screens and there's like it flips open and there's a screen and there's a screen and there's stuff.
You don't know what that's called?
No, what is that called?
Really?
Yeah. I'm
the
seriously.
Nintendo
DS. That's the Nintendo DS. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought there was something called Game Boy.
The 3D version. No, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. I'm not. I'm a casual gamer. So I don't do the handheld
gaming.
It reminded me more of
the Dreamcast that had the little.
The Dreamcast had the little
controller
screen. Yeah. Totally. It had the little LED screen. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see if that kind of form factor takes on. I've always loved to see kind of new approaches of design, like along these lines, because you haven't seen that before. I just don't know how it's going to capture imagination,
right? There's one for Sprint that's called, and far be it from me to pimp the competition, but it's called, I think it's called the Huawei Echo.
Is the
Echo?
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I saw that. But it doesn't have the split QWERTY keyboard, though, does it?
No, it does not.
That's fascinating to me because that the split keyboard, like we've seen it in thumb keyboard or whatever, that's it. But to see it in a physical slider keyboard is wacky. Mm-hmm. But hey, it's cool. So if that's your speed, I could see.
Kyocera Echo.
There we go.
Kyocera Echo.
People in the chat room are confirming that.
Chat room, there we go. But I saw this and I immediately thought Sidekick for some reason. I don't know. Just because the slime aspect.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so there you go.
Awesome. Well, if you still do like the keyboard and you don't want a screen to split it, look no further. The Droid 4, a phone we all should have known was right around the corner, has leaked. The popular Motorola Verizon slide-out keyboard phone has a fourth version caught in photos with a little bit more of the same design-wise. There's supposedly a 4-inch Super AMOLED advanced screen, an illuminated keyboard this time around. So the keys on the keyboard will be illuminated. So that's kind of a nice touch. And a running 2.3.5 Gingerbread. And, you know, what hot new Verizon phone would even show its face without 4G LTE capabilities anymore? So,
well, because the Droid 3 didn't have it.
Right. And I think all of their kind of, I would imagine, all if they're doing things right, all of their premier phones should have LTE or 4G LTE going forward. Speculation has this releasing sometime before the end of the year, which just goes to show, man, there are a lot of really good phones coming out right now. On all carriers, not just Verizon, but Verizon's got a pretty kick butt lineup right now.
And that's your carrier.
I know.
Hey, make your decision much more harder.
We'll see. Yes, it will make it much more hard.
Okay, and on November the 7th, it looks like, ding, 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 new Nook Color tablet launching. That's Monday in New York at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. So that is awesome because it's going to be just in time for next week's show. We'll be able to talk about the Nook Tablet 2. Nook Color Tablet 2 is what I'm guessing. That's all. We don't really have any information other than it's probably coming.
And I can't talk about it. So.
Ron.
I'll be able to talk about it on November 7th, but yeah.
I know. You pointed at my screen.
Well, my day job, we make comic book apps that run on the Nook.
So they made you sign your life away, right?
No, I'm being respectful of a partnership. Oh, nice.
Silence.
Anyways, okay.
Moving on, I have a little 4-minute review of the HTC Rhyme that I saved for Michael. We'll talk a little bit about it after we see the full review. Go ahead and run it, Chad.
Hey everyone, this is Eileen Rivera with Twit.tv and All About Android, and today I'm looking at a phone that I have made fun of. It's the HTC Rhyme, and you can get it on the Verizon network here in the United States. I made fun of it because I don't know if you've seen the commercials on TV.
All from one. All for you. I am the new Rhyme by HTC.
But there's a woman with 6 arms multitasking, and apparently that is what happens when you use this phone. Not the greatest marketing campaign, in my opinion, but let's put that aside and just take a look at what this phone has to offer. Now, I know HTC and Verizon are marketing this phone to me, a person like me, and I have to admit, I do like the mauve color. The actual handset itself feels really good in my hand and really solid, so props to them. And maybe if you're not a female, maybe you're just a hipster and you just like purple color. Okay, now looking at the phone itself, has all the basic components, a microphone jack, 5-megapixel camera. The power button is on the top here, USB, micro USB. And the other really cool thing about this phone is that it actually has a dock, and we'll look at that later. This is a 3.7-inch WVGA Super LCD display, single core, 4 gig onboard memory, 768 megabytes of RAM, and 8 gigs micro SD pre-installed in the phone. We have a front-facing VGA camera, and we have a notification light here. And now I'm going to show you HTC Sense 3.5, which comes preloaded here with Gingerbread 2.3.4. The camera itself is pretty decent. Shooting video or photos is pretty quick. Lickety-split. You even have some built-in hipster effects on the camera you can upload to your favorite photo-sharing service. Decent phone, runs pretty well, You can see I've got some widgets here. They actually come with a running app called Indomino, and I've used it a few times to track my walking, my exercise. And here's HTC Sense 3.5 again. You could change the apps that are here on the side, but say I want to look at my calendar. Up. You can see all my crazy day. Call quality is pretty decent. No complaints there. Of course, this is the Verizon network, so of course it's going to be really great. I'm going to go ahead and give one of my favorite people a call. Don't think she's going to answer. Performance-wise, I started to see the phone lag quite a bit, and battery life was actually pretty decent. Got me through most of the day. Again, decent phone. Now, what they're also touting is accessories. This is the HTC Charm that comes with the Rhyme. I gotta say, the Charm is kind of a gimmick because after about 30 to 45 seconds, the actual flashing is done. Now, I don't even think I'd see that. If I have my purse in my pocket, and this is kind of dangling here, I'm probably walking, I'm probably talking to someone at a restaurant or whatever, I'm gonna miss this, and now it's over. And I also have to say that the Charm plugs into the microphone jack, and half the time I'm probably going to want to be listening to music, and this would definitely get in the way. So, kind of a gimmick. The dock itself is really cool. Now, what you could do with the dock is you could use it as a speakerphone, and you could actually use it as a speaker for playing music off your phone. You could also show off photos in a little slideshow presentation, which is kind of nice. Took some photos of the crew. Buy, try, or don't buy? I'm going to say try, because there are some of you out there that might actually see this phone as, you know, as competent enough. I'm a power user, so the speed of the phone, the storage on the phone, not enough for someone like me. But if you do basic phone calls, if your needs are just maybe, I don't know, taking this to the gym or just light, if you're a light user, this might actually appeal to you. But I can't say, I can't really recommend it to everyone out there because smartphones are and applications are becoming more complex and you want your phone to kind of compete with that. So that is the shortcoming of the HTC Rhyme. It's really, really saddens me to say that because after all the nitpicks that I have with this phone, I really like holding it and actually having it around. But if I were to go to a store, this wouldn't be the first phone that I buy. So I would say try it first. I'm Eileen Rivera with Twit.tv and All About Android, and this is the HTC Rhyme. And here is the Charm. What do you guys think?
The dongle is enormous.
This dongle is
you can't really see it, but look, it's this long.
Yeah, but in my purse, if I throw it in my purse, and then it has a little clip here to put it out there. Awkward.
Does it make, it just blinks. It doesn't make noise.
There's no noise. Yeah. And then it stops after a while, and knowing me, I'm not paying attention to it.
Tangle free. You cannot tangle them.
Okay, and it comes with the other. This is tangle free. Headphones, yes.
That's pretty cool.
So, Michael, did I do justice?
You did it justice. And I actually have to say, I have to pause, time out the show really quickly because I have a little bit of a surprise.
Oh, okay. Wait, does it beat the lady phone?
Kind of.
It's the dude phone.
This serves two purposes.
Okay.
One is to prove my point, which at Android Open when I was on the show last, was that this is not just a lady phone.
Okay. Lady phone.
And also to help out one of your co-hosts who is in the market for a new phone.
Oh.
Since this is the latest phone that we have available on Verizon, I want to challenge you.
Wow.
You can use this phone for a month. You can keep it.
Okay.
This is a gift from HTC. Here is your brand new HTC Rhyme.
Thank you for the lady phone.
Lady phone.
It is now a manly phone because you are holding it. I believe in you.
This is awesome.
It's my color.
I
challenge you to try it. Keep your mind open. Try it for a month.
Is it okay if I don't use the dongle? It's a long dongle.
Just once a week.
Saying it's a long dongle, man.
I'm actually jealous of the dock. I want the dock.
The dock is awesome. Yeah. All right. I love the dock.
I will use it. I'll report on what I think.
Please report back in a month. I'm saying 28 days.
Is there any insight to the dongle? Can you provide any? I'm not.
The charm.
They call it the charm.
It's meant to be.
I'm just curious.
It's meant to be laid a little bit outside of a purse or a sash.
Right.
If you're a man.
Or a merce.
Jason, you have a merce.
Or a backpack. And it's basically meant to indicate when you have a message without you having to pull out your phone and look at the little indicator light and whatnot.
Interesting.
Varying degrees of of usability for different folks, but some people find it really, really useful, right?
Yeah.
I can tell by your face not that person.
Right.
But, you know.
Might be someone
I'm
out there.
I'm just saying, like, I have a horrible poker face. I just find it very curious. I mean, because that's the kind of thing where, I mean, I am a big fan of eccentric, wacky ideas, and I think it falls under that. I would never have thought of that. Eileen does make a good point that if I'm, you know, using my phone with headphones, that it kind of negates it.
It's
like,
true.
It's just a challenge. Yeah. But then again, I don't carry a Merce. I don't carry
a bag. Well, if you're using your phone with headphones, you're going to hear.
Exactly.
So I guess the idea is when you don't want to deal with your phone, but you want to know if you have an important message or something, you can do that.
Fascinating. Right. Lady phone. Yeah. I can't wait to see Jason use the lady phone.
I know.
I do got to admit, the dock, the dock is very cool. The dock, it's kind of a fabric-y. It's got a rubberized bottom, right. So it doesn't move. And I like the color.
And it's got speakers.
The color
and
is nice,
the dock,
right?
Has
speakers.
The dock has speakers.
Yeah, the dock has speakers. And it's got a specific dock mode.
Oh, we have to plug it in.
I'll show you after the show.
When the dock's plugged in, it's got a dock mode, which I really, really like.
I didn't watch your review.
That's kind of like a chat.
So, yeah, that's it in the
And actually, in the update that your wife got with the Thunderbolt, it also has the dock mode if you buy a dock.
There you go.
Oh, okay. And it's kind of looks like a tablet mode where it gives you like news and information. Kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, I will take you up on that. I will absolutely use that.
Now, if you could figure out some way to get the dongle-esque behavior to occur inside an RFID thumb ring,
then you would have
a hit.
You've got the hit.
If my thumb ring could only blink when I have a message.
You know, this has a big audience, so maybe somebody out there can do that.
Telling you.
I think
we're onto something.
They've built apps for us.
That's it.
The No Food app was built.
The All About the Android thumb ring that also serves as an RFID
They've also
call
built
indicator.
Websites for us. So.
I come up with ideas and I give them to you, the audience. You need to make it happen.
There
you go.
All right.
Now, before we leave hardware, you did bring the Jetstream tablet.
I brought my Jetstream, which you said needed a little bit of airtime, so I wanted to show you that.
We haven't shown that off yet, so let's see. We got a little.
This, to me, for my money, and again, I'm sure the chat room can correct me, is the most powerful tablet running Android out there. So it's got a 1.5 gigahertz dual-core Qualcomm processor. It's got a gigabyte of RAM. It's got actually, if you can see here, an 8-megapixel dual LED flash camera with instant capture. It's kind of ludicrously powerful. It also is the first and only tablet so far to have LTE on AT&T.
Cool.
It's exclusive to AT&T.
Got that really nice brushed.
Yeah, brushed metal on the back. I really love this tablet, and it's got the latest version of Android 3.1 with HTC Sense. You can see you can pinch out, which you can't do with stock.
Yeah, hold it maybe a little bit more down there.
Yeah, that's perfect. There we go. So it's got the HTC lock screen, so you can actually unlock two specific
apps. Oh, there's the ring.
Cool.
And the most important thing is the pen, and a lot of people think this is
I'm fascinated by the pen.
I love stylus.
I want to reiterate that it's not, and I've actually brought a few demos that we've had some awesome and talented developers come up with, one of which is going to come out in the marketplace.
Oh, this is
great. This is called Drag Me Over. I actually had this custom made. Thank you, Patrick. I think he's in the chat room right now. We're hoping this will be released in the market eventually, but it's kind of a demo. It's fun. You press play, right? And then the idea is you cannot push too hard or the egg will drop. If the pressure reaches too high, it'll drop into the ocean.
Because your hand is blocking.
Oh, sorry about that. Here we go.
Welcome to our world.
So there you can see I'm dragging it, but if I push harder, it should.
So it's pressure sensitive.
Yes, it is pressure sensitive. You can at least see the little gauge moving. Oops.
Somebody in the chat room said angry eggs.
Angry eggs. There you go. So I got to drag it over here, and then I get points. But I got to make sure not to smash it on stuff. And it's so that the pen
you
is pressure sensitive.
You have to use the pen. You can't use your finger.
You can use your finger, but it doesn't do pressure. It does.
It
does area of
then it's
touch.
A lot easier.
So yeah, exactly. So it's a lot easier. It's a demo right now, but they're still working out the game mechanics. Another one I wanted to show you that's pretty cool. Shows off the pen. Is Rainbow Harp. So this is something that somebody designed for us at DroidCon UK. Holla. And you draw the waveform with your finger, or I'm sorry, with the pen, and then you play it.
You can hear.
Can you hear that?
I can hear.
So you draw
the waveform. Yeah, and you can only do that with the pen, and then your finger plays it. Pretty cool little ideas for usage. Uh-huh. We've also worked with Wyze Pocket Cloud to build out a version of the app that does remote desktop.
Yeah.
And you can right-click with one of the buttons on the pen. And then anywhere you are in the OS, you can take a note or a screenshot, and you can draw, obviously, and it's pressure-sensitive, and there's the scribe controls there. You can hold one of the buttons to erase. There's a whole host of functionality. And then, most importantly, you can go to HTC Dev and make your own apps.
That's right.
That's right.
The Open Dev, right?
Your own apps. Open Sense SDK.
There we go.
HTCDev.com. I'm a lefty. I'm sorry I have bad handwriting. But there you go. There's a little bit about the Jetstream.
I saw the pen, the ads in the Embarcadero station and the on Muni and Bart and stuff. And,
yeah.
and like
yeah.
as I was riding the escalator, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of curious
what
about
is that.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So it was good advertising.
A lot of people think it's a stylus, but it's so much more. Like you kind of have to adjust your mind frame. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, it's a second layer of input where it's not just imitating my finger, but it can distinguish between the different touches and there's pressure. So we're just trying to get the word out there that there's some cool stuff you can do with it.
Right. Cool.
Now that is fantastic.
I would give that a try.
I love HTC build quality, and that's why I was really looking forward to an HTC tablet.
Oh.
You can't
You guys can have one.
What?
There you go.
this is like Oprah.
Awkward.
Everybody gets a tablet. Oh. Were you about to go up?
I was about to go
up. Too late.
That's how you cut it off. That's how you cut it off. Anyway, you guys can have that and use that on the.
What
on
was
the
your button? Does this come with a pen or not?
It comes with a pen. Oh, there should be a pen in there.
We'll
if not, we'll make sure we get
this. Is great. That's
what's really awesome. What was your button? I'm curious.
Heaviness? The price.
Oh, the price. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's probably one of the more expensive Android tablets out there, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I would say, you know, in defense of the price, it's the only tablet with LTE on AT&T. That costs money, right? We know that from when we released the Thunderbolt for Verizon. It's got the fastest processor. It's also got the Scribe Pen, which actually, those are expensive to make. They're coming down in price. I think Best Buy
just
lowered
it. It's not just a little pen. It's got mechanics
inside. It's got mechanics and some very advanced stuff. And then that's also another layer of hardware inside the device. So, I honestly, it's worth the money. But it's hard to make that case in a world where everybody says, is that an iPad? You know what I'm saying? So I understand with the price, but it's definitely worth the money.
What is the – I'm trying to look it up on
– I think it's $699.
$699.
Yeah, so it's definitely up there in price.
It's up there for
tablets. Did somebody say $800 in the chat room?
When you go to you know, Google Shopping or whatever, they have a few different options there. And one of them was $800, which at first I was like, whoa, that sounds like really expensive. But yeah, through AT&T – it looks like it's $699 to your contract price.
I would say everyone in Houston should
$849.99, no commitment.
Everyone in Houston, because that's AT&T's one LTE market so far, and they're going to be rolling it out to more. But they will be rolling it out to more markets.
Okay.
So.
Cool. All right, cool. Well, thank you
so much.
Yeah.
Can you come on next week, too?
Empty-handed?
Empty-handed.
That's awesome. All right, well, let's move on to a quick voicemail. We have a voicemail from Craig in Texas, and let's see what he has to say about Galaxy Nexus features.
Hey, Boy Crew. This is Craig from Tyler, Texas. I just finished watching y'all's coverage of the Google Samsung announcement, and I have an old Samsung phone, which not that old. It's the Continuum, and it's stuck back on Eclair. But yet, a lot of the features I saw in the announcement, like 70 or 80% of them, I either already have or they're even, you know, exactly the same. They look really, really similar, especially like the clicking the contacts picture and getting a little scroll bar of what your options are to contact them through all the various things. So I wanted to hear y'all's comments on what you think the relationship is between Google and Samsung in the development of this phone. Do you think Samsung had a heavy input into Ice Cream Sandwich and its design? Because a lot of it looks like TouchWiz to me.
I don't know about that.
I love the name TouchWiz.
Although, you know, after we did the announcement, I got several...
A lot of people
commented to me, they're like, hey, Eileen, look at your phone. You have that ring, you know, when someone calls and then you could, you know, dismiss it with a text that's already customized. There's tons of things already that's already...
I feel like it was a case of Google looking at the enhancements and the customizations that folks like Samsung and HTC and stuff like that doing and then picking and choosing what they like the best, then giving it that Google spin on it. So, like... yeah, I think they looked at what Samsung did a lot, especially considering they're such a close partner. But I don't think it's a case of like there's nothing scandalous going on. I think it's just Google accepting, hey, that's something we didn't think of. Let's bake it in.
Or they did, and it was on their list. An ice cream sandwich that was their ability to.
I'm not gonna lie. Every time there's a new version of Android, I notice at least 10 features that were completely ganked from since, and I like it. It's great, right? We like to see those features rolled in. In fact, in Ice Cream Sandwich, there is native stylus support. So native support for alternate inputs. Let me clarify that.
Like
so,
a pen?
Like our pen, right? Yeah. So we're working right now to see how our current APIs, the only reason we have them is because there aren't actually APIs for Android right now with those types of inputs. But now Google's looking to roll those in. Also, with the lock screen, you can now unlock the apps, which HTC Sense has had for a while. So, yeah, they do that. They do, I mean, and it's good.
It's no different. I mean, you see that in development all the time. It's no different than, you know, a big case of this is Twitter. Twitter's R&D department has been all the other partners that have used the API.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at all the interesting, you know, they rolled out their photo service after seeing what TwitPic and WildFrog and all them were doing.
Take it or buy it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's really no – and if we want to go back to Apple, look at iOS 5 updates. Mm-hmm. Very similar to what's going on Android, you know. Like, so everybody borrows and steals and, you know, influences.
Yeah, especially, it actually makes me not necessarily – because my phone has a lot of the features, I don't necessarily feel like I am going to upgrade right away. I'm going to see what you guys do first. Mm-hmm. I'm actually not going to get the Nexus. So,
well, and you're going to get it. Already,
yeah, the ship has sailed.
And I'm going to get
ice cream sandwich.
He's
not doing anything for 30 days.
Right, yeah.
So,
no, he's going to be impressing a lot of the men at the single scene with his lady phone.
I bet if you walk around with that, no one will ever say to you, hey, that's a lady phone. I wonder. I'm going to be curious, actually.
Well, you know what? You're going to
unless they watch the show.
I think the high heels and the purse will be the
differentiator.
Exactly. And Jason, we support your choices.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah. Man, I went from having no phones to having like phones coming out of my ears. What's going on?
I gotta stop the lady phone. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
The lady phone thing cracks me up. No, I do like the color. I really like the color.
No, the color's nice.
Yeah, I love
it's hipster color too.
Yeah, I'm purple. I'm
hipster,
down purple.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on to apps. All right, real quick, I thought we should just check in on our friends at Dolphin HD. Dolphin HD, an app featured on previous episodes. I believe it won the arena that it was on, that I had it on, actually, has been outed in a security breach that exposes the URLs for every page loaded to the maker of the app. Essentially, what they're doing, the transmission of URLs was being used to match against Dolphin's 300-plus sites that utilize the webzine format. If you remember back to my review, there's a certain kind of mode that you can go into that offers up web pages in more of like a magazine. Like kind of UI. That's their webzine format. And the URL was not stored on Dolphin servers. Essentially, they were just taking those URLs that you visit, passing those through to their servers to match against those. If they didn't match, then nothing happened. If they did, they'd show you the webzine format. But regardless, passing every URL you punch into Dolphin through the open internet, you know, with no sort of security masking it is never a good thing. And, you know, we have to trust them that they weren't holding on to it. Personally, I don't think that they were. They say that they will be using HTTPS for this functionality in the near future. In the meantime, an updated version of the app has been released and it fixes the issue. So keep that in mind, folks.
All right.
I've pretty much given up on having my identity private to me. Since I signed up for Facebook and I do Twitter and I know that Google has all my information already, it's hopeless. I feel like it's hopeless.
It's all out there. They know already. Okay, released today, there was a G+ app update. And Chad, if you can grab my phone here. There's some slight modifications to the UI of the actual app, as you can see here. It looks a little more spread out if you're looking at it. There's a couple features that are completely new. And it actually looks a little more ice cream sandwichy with the... the underline here, under all circles, incoming. What's new is there is visual design, battery life improvements, navigation, performance improvements, significant notification improvements, the UI again, bug fixes. You know, what's interesting, though, and you can add people to a circle from the circle profile. So if I go into circles, and let's see, I've got my Twit group here, and then I could just add from there. I guess that was different from before. Very mild updates. There is no widget, though, but apparently that will come back. There have been some complaints that you cannot still link to preview. You can't preview your links on the app. Still no ability to +1 comments like you can do on the web. Mm-hmm. But
you haven't been able to do that in the app.
You hadn't been able to do that before. So there's just some
things. Which is incredibly frustrating. But interesting how the design is getting very in line with Ice Cream Sandwich, but it's also, I looked at it and I'm like, oh, it kind of looks like some of the UI stuff from Google TV, which is also getting in line. Like
unifying
the design, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
All right.
Dig it.
Radical. All right. A few quick emails. One that I'll just mention. Mike the truck driver wrote in.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, Mike the truck driver wrote in with a quick email, and I'll just kind of summarize it. I guess when I was doing my Vlingo review, he had Vlingo. Do you know what Vlingo is?
Like, I do. Have you ever used that? Like Vlingo. Voice commands.
Yeah, voice commands. He had that app installed and was already using it. So every time I would say, hey, Vlingo, it would go off and try and do a command that I was saying in my review.
Oh, no.
So that's kind of awesome. Did now when I said that. Hey, Vlingo.
Sorry, Mike.
What should we get going?
We're totally going to screw with Mike.
Hey, Vlingo, open music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows if that'll work. All right.
Vlingo, call 911.
No. Vlingo, do not do that. Okay, but real quick, we'll do this other email here. Michael Richmond wrote in to say, you read an email, Jason, I read an email, that the guy was asking to retrieve his contacts, and you explained how to clear his contacts. The way you read it was that he was not syncing the contacts to Gmail, but then added a Gmail account, and the contacts disappeared. As a note, not all contacts are always uploaded. There is actually a phone contact list that is not synced anywhere. So in clearing the contact storage, he may have wiped it all out.
To view
the phone contacts, go to your contacts app and press menu, settings, view, and you have choices for several different address books, Google accounts, SIM, and phone.
This is the guy who's cleared out his wife's contacts, and he really needs to figure this out.
Here's the deal.
Have we heard back? Like, are you okay? No. Hopefully you're not on the couch together.
Yeah, I know.
He's sleeping on the couch.
Listen, I really need to figure this out.
I emailed about him about this at least a few days, I believe, before we even talked about this on the show. I have not heard back a single thing. Once I saw this, I sent him another email and just said, hey, just let me know that you're getting this. Like,
oh, dear Lord.
Whatever. I'm still not entirely clear that this is exactly the risk because I misread it or I read it correctly, but it sounds like
there was a chance. I actually had that thought, but I didn't say it because there are times because I don't have sync running 24. I turn sync off because I want to control my sync because I'm a control freak. And there are times where I've entered in somebody's phone number and then I go to check on Google Contacts to update it, to type their name in better or whatever, and it's not there because I didn't turn on sync. Mm-hmm. So if I'd wiped my phone then, I would have lost the phone number because it was only stored in the phone.
Right.
So, I mean, it's an edge case. It's definitely...
And I just never knew, like, I had never considered the fact that you could store... Yeah. A contact just on your...
No, I met somebody who uses... somebody who has a Droid who is not... It's not linked to any Gmail account at all.
Wow,
it's all phone use. And I was like, why are you doing that? And I got like really nervous. And I was like, well, I could just set it up for you.
That's anathema to me. With all the different devices I use and switch to, like, I can keep track.
Yep. I hope I didn't just do something really bad to your phone.
Sorry.
Okay, well, you know what you could do kind of as payback to yourself from me to you? You could sign up for Netflix. Netflix.com/twit because if you do that, you get 30 days free and you can get some free movies. And that's like me saying, I'm sorry. Netflix streams thousands of TV episodes and movies directly to you. Saves you time, money, and hassle. Tons of different ways you can get your movie streamed to you through Netflix. iPad, iPhone, Mac, PC, Xbox 360, Android, PS3, Nintendo Wii. All different types of devices have the ability to stream these movies and TV shows from Netflix. If you're not a gamer, you can watch Netflix on your TV with an Apple TV, Roku, just tons of devices. You can begin watching the show on one device, and then you can move to another device if that's...
That's the coolest. I was watching Decoded, this TV show, and I was watching at the gym, and I finished. I went home. I was on my tablet, and I stopped with 12 minutes to go, and I came home. I turned on my Google TV, went to Netflix, and I remembered exactly where I left off.
It automatically kind of syncs that, so cool. Keeps that for you. Yeah. So you can move to another device and continue, and you can cancel anytime. Try Netflix free for 30 days. Tell them Jason sent you. Actually, you don't even need to do that. You just go to netflix.com/twit and be sure to use that URL when you sign up for the free trial. netflix.com/twit. We thank Netflix for their support of Twit and hope you enjoy watching instantly.
Yeah, speaking of, we were talking about how movies are available. So Kevin Smith's movie, Red State, is up on Netflix.
Okay. Yeah. Meaning to watch that.
Yeah, which had a very limited theatrical run like the festivals, and he skipped the entire theatrical release and went right to Netflix, which I think is really cool. So it's supposed to be pretty good. I don't know. I've heard it's pretty good. Yeah.
All right, check it out. Let's jump into the arena.
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
Can you guys clear something up for me? I just always wondered what the accent was in the arena. It's like Android Arena.
It's Androidian? Yeah,
that's a good question.
Nice.
Androidian.
I don't know. Well, first of all, let's take a look at last week's quiz. We had our favorite thing. Well, no, actually, it was games. It wasn't another grab bag. It was games. Let's see here.
Oh, I forgot about this one.
Yeah.
I thought Jenga was going to perform much better than that.
Air Attack HD with 44% of the votes. That was my game.
When you couldn't top over the Jenga.
Well, that's just because I was at an awkward angle. Come on. The folks in Canada and India know what's up.
I understand.
Thank you.
Oh, and it looks like I got a vote from Kenya.
Nice.
Says somebody on the side here. Floris.
One check off your bucket list right there.
Yeah. Always wanted to vote from Kenya. So Air Attack HD with 44% of the vote. Early
Bird. It was
a
pretty cool game. I'll give you that much.
Early Bird with 22%. Really Jenga, 20%. And Battle Bears.
At least I didn't come in last. Percent. I can't believe I've lost to Early Bird.
Really?
Sorry. I did. I know. It's like a passive aggressive way of saying it. Yeah, it's just like, I can't believe I lost to that game. It's like crap.
You know, I went for the kid vote.
You did.
I went for the parents and the kids. I got that group, I think.
You did. It was smart. I like how the arena has become less about like reviewing apps or recommending and more just an internal competition amongst the three of us, really.
It's a combination.
It's a combination, yeah.
In fact, the first thing Eileen asked me today, she's like, do you want to win?
I said,
I'm entering the arena.
He said, well, I have two apps. I'm like, well, yeah. What do you want to do? Do you want to win or do you want to just show now?
Do you want to win or do you
go home?
I think you may have chosen the winning category.
Yeah, that said, I don't think my app is definitely not going to be the winner this week. But
so we've got a grab bag this week, and it's anything goes, as evidenced by, I mean, they're four completely different things in the arena this week. So I'm going to start off with mine. It's actually going to be a pretty quick review because there isn't a whole lot to say about this. It's called Ivona Text-to-Speech HQ. If you've used your Google Text-to-Speech for like navigation and everything, you know that it's serviceable. It's decent as far as text-to-speech goes, but it's still very robotic. And I don't know, after a while, I just felt like I wanted to change. And Ivona came to save the day.
Ivona change.
And so, okay, so this is a text-to-speech app that is free. It's in a free beta right now until November 15th. So you can play around with it and check it out until November 15th. I don't know how much it's going to cost when it comes out of beta, but I've been playing around with it, and I will probably end up getting it once it comes out of beta. It will replace all of your text-to-speech, you know, needs, navigation, reading back ebooks.
Really?
I have it tied into IM as well. But just to give you kind of an example.
Ivona. It's
hello.
Sexy, yes. Too.
Hello,
Hi, Ivona.
Hello, Ivona.
Even I think she's hot. Hello. Ivona. Come on.
Ivona, get to know her.
You have to be quiet.
All right, let's see.
Hello there. My name is Gendra. I am one of high-quality Ivona text-to-speech voices.
Sounds pretty.
Oh, sorry. Her name is Gendra.
I know. This says. Okay, so
it's out of a fantasy novel.
Kendra, because they have different.
Kendra. Oh, okay.
Because they have different. Personalities for different languages, right? So the U.S. language is called Kendra. So the app itself, there isn't really an app that you play with, right? There's some settings that you can do with it. But what I've done, just to kind of give you a few different ideas of the quality of the text-to-speech, is I've created a little personalized thread in my IM here so I can give you a few examples. All right, so let's see if I can kind of
play. Were you IMing yourself?
Here.
This is a test of Ivona Text-to-Speech HQ.
Okay, that's pretty straightforward. If we were navigating, right?
Turn left at Keller Street. Then your destination is on the right.
Yeah.
See? It's pretty
that's
solid.
That's pretty good, yeah.
And then?
I must admit, Jason almost always picks the best apps on All About Android.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, God.
That really wasn't necessary.
Ivona, really. Please.
Jason, do you want to grab a drink sometime?
Oh, hey-o.
I had...
I think Stacy may not like this.
Okay, I get it. I can take a hint. You aren't interested in romantic walks in the park with robot voice apps. I'm going to go cry myself to sleep now.
Wow.
That would be good.
It just got awkward.
Yeah.
A little bit awkward.
I didn't write that.
Yeah.
I didn't write that.
Every time you go to get directions now, you're like, hey, Ivona.
Okay,
I hate to bother
just stick to navigation. Just stick to navigation, Ivona. Anyways, all right. So
totally getting fresh with you, dude. Okay, anyways.
I know. I might uninstall. I don't know. So it was a little weird.
She hit on me, but I need to get to where I'm going.
What can I say? Ivona's really friendly. Okay. Anyways, so it's Ivona Texas Speech HQ. You can get it in the Android Market. It's free right now. It's really good quality. I had it kind of running around in navigation over the weekend, and it's just better at sounding than the stock Texas Speech.
And it's a little more aggressive. Socially.
Yeah, it really likes you.
I thought Iris was a little saucy.
I know, yeah.
Well, no, Ivona.
You get Iris and Ivona in a room together, woo!
But Iris is a man in London.
Iris
is a man in the UK.
Really? Oh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. No, Siri. Siri. Yeah. What am I talking about?
Oh, Siri.
Yeah, not Iris.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Wait, what is Iris?
Iris
is, it's this beta app that's basically the answer to Siri, and it is very beta.
Got very confused by that.
Yes.
Okay, I guess I'll go next. So mine will be really quick. I had a tough time picking an app this week, and I've been playing a bunch of games, and I just not successfully finding one that kind of suited my fancy, but I have been using an app. Lo and behold, I'm like, well, why don't I just talk about this app? Because I actually use it all the time. It's called Circle Launcher, and the best way to describe it is those of you who are fans of Multicon out there, and I've got Multicon on my screen here, Chad. Oh, I got to move it here. So basically, you could put a ton of apps in one area here, and you could load it up so I can have tons of apps there. Oh, okay. I kind of think that one thing I don't like about Multicon is if you have fat fingers, you could accidentally hit a different app than the one that you really want to. But, a lot of people kind of swear by it. And it's good if you have a ton of apps and you want to group them all in one kind of area here. But what I like to do is kind of clean up my screens. I've been sort of cleaning up my screens, and I've got this widget page here, and then I've got some of these are the new apps or apps that I'm using kind of frequently and testing out. And then I have my homepage, and I kind of clean that up. I got a little bit of flack for my homepage being a little too cluttery on G+ one day. I thought, really? God, okay, whatever.
Harsh.
Harsh, very harsh. Yeah. Circle Launcher is not a launcher. It's kind of, to me, that's misleading. It's more of a widget. And what I've done here, if I show you my launcher here, Circle Launcher, I put all of my favorite apps that I go to heavily in the Circle Launcher. And then if I just kind of run my finger around the circle here,
that's cool.
Maybe I want to go to Foursquare. That's how I launch my app. And there's many different ways to customize. You can customize the circle here with contacts. I've done it here with bookmarks, and I've gone vertically. I've got a couple bookmarks here. They're not really my real... I need to have more bookmarks. Yeah. And then I've done it here horizontally as well. So I've put some apps here horizontally, and when you run your hand down or run your finger down the when you run your finger down slightly, then you can kind of pick and choose which app you might want to use. I always use Get Glue.
That's cool.
Simple. There's a light version online that's free if you want to try it out. I can show you the... Oops, Get Glue, go away. I could show you some of the settings here. You could pick apps, contacts, or bookmarks to put in your circle. You can, and once I've chosen apps, then you have all your apps. I have so many apps that you can go through and put in your circle launcher. You could customize the style circle that you saw, a horizontal line or vertical line that you saw. And you can actually customize the icon. When you get the pro version, you get all of the different colors. You can have it transparent, different color. And then you can name your circle whatever you want. I didn't have any particular fancy names. And then you can back up and restore and things like that. Super easy. But it's kind of cleaned up my homepage. And I didn't think I was going to use it, but I use it all the time. And now I have a nice clean.
So it's almost
almost
like the folder in
kind
Ice
of
Cream
like
Sandwich
a folder.
Are currently on the app. Yeah.
Yeah. Now here's the folder for Samsung like that.
Yeah. But it's a little more dynamic.
It's a little more dynamic, yeah. And then you get the little swirly. Ooh, it's cool. fun, sweet. Anyways, I just, I was trying to clean up my my homepage on my phone, and I have stuck with this for the last month. So I thought, all right, I think it's about time I talk about it. That's Circle Launcher. It's $1, the pro version in the marketplace. I think it was also free on the Amazon marketplace a while ago. And there's also a light version if you don't want to pay for it. You just don't get all the bells and whistles, but for the most part, the light version will work too, so... Fine. That's free.
Cool.
That's it. Circle Launcher.
Awesome. Right. My turn?
Yep, your turn.
All right, so I was somewhat inspired by some of the chat room conversation last week when people were talking about video players. Like, mm-hmm. People are asking, what video player should I use and that sort of thing. And I thought I'd mix it up, and I brought the Zoom, I brought the tablet in.
Ooh.
And I thought I would spotlight the video player that I've, for whatever reason, have chosen and have adopted mm-hmm. using. And that is called MX Video Player.
Ooh.
It is free in the Android marketplace, and there's also a pro version that is oddly priced at, I believe, like $562.
Why does it do that? It's for tax purposes.
Yeah. As far as I could tell, the only difference between the paid version and the free version is there's ads in the free version. Mm. I haven't seen any functionality difference or anything like that. But MX Video Player is it works on both phones and tablets, so it's cross-platform or whatever you want to call it. And here I'm just gonna load it up so you all can see my tablet over my shoulder. There you go. All right, so hit it up, and it's very. Let me go back. It's very clean in the interface. I've got a couple of movies preloaded up here onto the tablet itself. So you just get a basic list of them. You can edit the entries so you can give them full names as opposed to just the file names and that sort of thing. You can also scan the device to look for more media, which is a nice little function, a little bit of function. And easily access the preferences where you can specify how you want them grouped. You can also specify what decoder you want, other little ways to tweak the guts of how the application does work. It is fairly supportive of most standard video codecs, but MX Player does have other codecs in the Android marketplace that you can install if you come across one that you don't have or want to use. So easily enough, you could just tap on a movie, it loads, and it plays. It just gets the job done. Very neat in that regard. You can pull up the menu at the bottom, and you can load in subtitles if you have them or not. I don't think this particular movie does have subtitles. You just tap on the center, and you can pause and play. You can also scrub on the timeline. And also interesting that as you scrub, you see the time code mm-hmm. right in the middle, which is nice. One of the things MX Player is a big fan of is the fact that they've got, within the subtitles and all text, they've got a very bold text rendering system. So subtitles are easy to read. And it's very, you know, it's one of the things I guess on tablets is a problem with in terms of rendering the subtitles and that sort of thing. So they're very proud of that. But yeah, and it plays, you know, I've thrown a whole bunch of movies on it and just to see what it wouldn't play, and I haven't had to install another codec yet.
How's the quality on like a really HD movie or something?
Oh, well, this particular one is 720. This is at 720.
Wow. That's good.
Pretty high, and it looks great. It looks great on the tablet itself. So, yeah.
What about this versus like Rock Media or Rock Player or Arc Media?
I haven't used Arc Media. I used Rock Player a while ago and rejected it for some reason. I can't tell you why. Okay. I don't remember why. I need to revisit Rock Player.
I've noticed that one stutters a little bit sometimes.
Yeah.
That looks super smooth though.
Yeah, no, it's great, and it just it just works. I mean, that's the great thing is that it just works. And you can alter the display settings as you're doing it. You can adjust the zoom, so if you want to keep the aspect or go full screen or go original size. So you know, for here, I can fill out the screen, and I just want to keep the you know. You can go down to the original size. In this particular case, is the full resolution of this. But if I have like a here, I've got the Muppet Christmas special from the 80s.
Nice.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
What? Spoiler.
Which is
spoiler. They end up celebrating Christmas.
But yeah. So in this particular case, you know, this is the original size. And you know that doesn't you know because it's a crappy recording. So I can go full screen. And it'll, you know, even
big
though,
bird.
Yeah,
an even bigger big bird,
yeah, and stretched out,
but then, yeah, but then also you can adjust the status bar, and also the subtitle text. You can change the font and the size and the colors and stuff like that in the layout. So it's very customizable to get it to be the player that you want it to be. So MX Player, like I said, I tinkered with it, liked it, have stuck with it.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I think awesome. is the best kind of recommendation I can make, and it's free. Mm-hmm. And that was the free
that's
version. And I don't know if you did you even I don't
I didn't see
an
the
ad.
Ads or
let's
anything
try to find
on there.
An ad. No. That's a
I
good question.
I didn't see any ads on there.
Oh, that's the free version. Oh.
Yeah, it's the free version. That's interesting. Better it's because I'm not connected to the internet.
Ah,
so there you go.
Work
that's a good way.
You do offline.
Yeah, do offline viewing. There's no ad there. So think about that. It's the standard little AdSense, Google AdSense unit that's in the middle, and it does show up when you're watching video. So I want to make sure it's cleared, so nobody's surprised by that. When you're watching a movie, it does show up, but if you're watching it letterboxed, it's in the black area. It's yet to obscure my viewing experience. Okay. So
cool.
It's free.
Okay, it's free.
Yes, well.
Michael has an app.
All right. So before I get into that, the chat room was actually asking a question that I had, but I was afraid to ask. What launcher were you using with those transitions? The specific, like, it looked like it was turning a corner.
This is Go Launcher.
Okay,
yeah, I'm a big Go girl.
Ah, okay.
I have many Go apps.
You go girl.
I'm a Go girl.
So the app that I have is none other than Minecraft Pocket Edition. If you don't know what Minecraft is... What is it? Is it a game? I don't know. It's like
It's a way of life.
Yes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a way of life, kind of in this blocky universe where you can build stuff and also zombies attack you. And you can collaborate, and there can be multiple people in a universe. And there wasn't a mobile version for a little while, and then it was available on only certain handsets, and now it's available on tablets. So this is kind of the app on the Jetstream. Let me see here. There we go. And I'll show you options. My username is Steve. And I turned on fancy graphics, which I honestly can't see the difference between fancy and regular graphics because it's like 8-bit, right? It's all blocks. And you'll see that in a second. And then, yes, I did turn on lefty because I am a lefty and I like vibration feedback. So it does have that mode. That's nice. It's big for me. I know there's like 10% of people that care about that. I'm one of them. You can join a game. I think it has to be the pocket edition of the game. But I'm going to start a new game and I'm going to create a new world and show you what that looks like. Let's do unnamed world. So it takes a little bit to build the terrain. You can already see it's kind of blocky 8-bit
style. When it builds terrain, is it just like random terrain?
Random, completely okay. Random. One thing to note is that you can import maps, worlds, from the PC version. There's a way to do that. I'm not sure exactly how, but that's good. It'd be nice if you could actually play with people in those worlds. So this is the game. And essentially what you do is you walk around and you select a block and you then place that block. That's what you do. And you also avoid zombies at night, and you can explore this world. It's kind of fun. It's like, I don't know, I could see myself enjoying just wandering around as like a zen thing to do after a long, hard day. It's, you know, Lego lands where no one can bother me except for zombies. You can also change your view. Let's see here.
You can change the blocks, too, which is key.
Wow, that's a lot of blocks.
These are all the different blocks. I think this is
this game scares the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, you know, I downloaded it really for the phone with the intention of reviewing it a couple weeks ago, and I was a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I'm glad. You know, it actually seems like it would be easier to play on the tablet.
On the computer it looks great, and then on the tablet
it's easier. On the phone, I was trying to put this on my phone,
and it was really tiny, but it works perfectly. And this is the third-person view.
There's Steve.
There I am. Mr. Non-Lego guy, because they would probably be sued. Out of existence. So I like the game. There have been some cool mods that have been done, like where it's like Zelda and you can actually create
games. Would be fun.
But it's very, very basic at its core, and I haven't spent a ton of time with the game just because I don't have a ton of time to spend with it. But I can see that.
And that's what scares me about it. Yeah, is that very Second Life-ian in that, you know, World of Warcraft, it's like where you start dreaming in Minecraft.
I'm glad that I don't really know what to do, because once I figured out a use for this, I feel like I could lose myself in it. But it's $6.99, so it's worth a buy, and you can import maps that people do. I recommend the Zelda one. I have yet to import that, but I hope that will work because it looks really cool. So there you go, Minecraft.
So it's really less of a game and more of kind of a city builder or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can actually build stuff in it. I know on the PC version, the PC side, and admittedly, I haven't played it, so I know nothing. I know less about Minecraft than I knew about Nintendo DS.
Chad knows. Chad, you could tell us.
Tell us about Minecraft.
So yeah, the cool thing about Minecraft is making stuff, and this is this is unlike the PC version in that you just have unlimited blocks. In the PC version, you have to actually mine and find those blocks that you're using and craft them.
That's way different.
Yeah, and you have like an inventory, and then this is you know, definitely a mobile version so that people can easily get in and start playing.
I like how Chad just has a review ready.
I know.
Like, that was
well,
like on the spot.
I know, because the next show after us tonight is NSFW.
Right.
And a lot of the NSFW fans, they have a Minecraft server, right?
Right. Yeah. I was actually sort of wondering if you could join the server.
I don't think you can. I think it has to be mobile to mobile.
Yeah, okay. And it's one of the PC versions of the server. So it looked like to me, when he started playing, it was like, oh, he's in God mode. He can just put as much stuff as he wants to. But no, that's apparently, you know, as I'm watching the review, that's not the mode. That's just how you play that game.
What's happening here? Are you playing mushrooms?
But then what do they do? That's the question.
See, like in the other game, you could harvest those mushrooms and make them into soup so that you can feel your health bar. You know, like, yeah. So like,
see, now that sounds more,
this is way different, you know, like, than the PC version. It looks like.
I think that's where I found a little bit of a a mental block when I launched it on my phone. I said, well, what else can I do? Yeah. And I couldn't. Well, yeah. And that would be more appealing and probably more obsessive. And
just to be fair, this does say alpha. So if I quit the title, it says alpha version. So I'm assuming they're going to layer on more features.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hope for cross-platform play, but I know that's really hard.
Yeah.
Running different OSs and versions and stuff like that. But there you go.
Well, I'm glad you showed it off, and it looks really great on the tablet. So.
Yay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's not going to work for the live viewers, I'm realizing, but it will in the downloadable version. bit.ly/poll32AAA. I don't know why it's not pulling up, and I swear I set it up.
It's a Bitly problem.
But bit.ly/poll32AAA. Go there. And vote for your favorite of the four apps we talked about. Ivona, Text-to-Speech HQ, Circle Launcher, MX Video Player, and Minecraft Pocket Edition.
So many different apps in there.
Really happy you did Minecraft because that's been this thing that I just always see like tons of videos on YouTube about and everything. I'm like, I don't understand it.
My concerns are not allayed, by the way, by any means. Yeah. I'm not at all. I'm still scared of it. So Chad, though, did
it's fascinating.
Yeah,
he did a great job.
Piqued my curiosity.
Yes.
So thank you. Yeah.
Right on. I think that is it for the show. Michael, thank you so much for joining us yet again.
Yeah,
thank
you
for
having me. Awesome.
A ton of fun. Always fun.
Yeah. And,
And
yes.
So
we have a surprise of ourselves. We have an HTC tablet to give to you. Oh, wait, we did that already.
Oh, yeah.
So, Michael, why don't you go ahead and plug away?
Sure.
What are some of the things that you're working
on? So, definitely the first thing is htcdev.com. We have our SDK, the little demos that I showed you. We'd love to have more developers on board. Feel free to tweet at me. I'm at Michael_Ludden. Just like my name with an underscore in between them. And then at htcdev, we do reply to some of the tweets. Just get involved. We got a huge initiative going. We're going to be at a lot of events, a lot of shows. If you run into us, say hi. Definitely, if you have an idea for a cool app, come talk to htcdev. So thanks again, guys.
Yeah, thank you for coming
Appreciate
up here.
Appreciate you coming on. And Ron, why don't you go ahead?
I'm always first. I feel weird. No. You can find everything about me at about.me, ironically enough. About.me/RonXO. Links to me on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and to the websites I work for, ifanboy.com and graphly.com, which all celebrate comic books. And Graphly has wonderful Android applications for comics that you can enjoy. So thanks. Come say hi.
Before I forget, quick shout out to the team. Jad, Lee, Dario, Bruce, David, and Lance, and everybody else. So there you go.
All right.
I would be remiss. I would be in trouble if I didn't.
I was also going to give a shout out to Lance, but you beat me to it. So Lance,
seriously. Lance,
shout
out.
Lucky guy.
Yep.
All right.
Well, I'm Eileen, and at EileenTV is my Twitter, and
gplus.to/EileenTV to find you on Google+.
Thank you very much.
Nice. You'll get that one.
There it is.
Yeah.
Wait.
G-Pulse.
Oh, G-Pulse.
It's okay.
G-Pulse.
It was almost there. Yeah.
Almost there, Chad.
A for effort.
G-Pulse.
All right. And I'm at RayGun01 on Twitter or about.me/JasonHowell. That is it for this week. Send us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or a video mail at aaa@twit.tv. Hit us up on Twitter. You can find the show at Android Show. Show notes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday, even Halloween, at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That is it for another edition of All About Android, folks. Go get some candy.
Bye.
All right, see you guys later.
Where's the screen mask?
Oh, yeah.
No. Why would you do that?
I love the screen mask. It's weird. Yes. Yay. This is not very scary.
Hello,
music, though.
Hello, Sydney. Isn't that what he says?
Yes, it is.
Hello, Sydney.